thunder in my soul.
Say it now, say it now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning to all of our brothers and sisters out there, as far as I can be heard. Thank you for tuning in to KAYT-KQJO-FM, where you're going to hear the best of contemporary, traditional, inspirational, motivational music this side of heaven. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend with you on this beautiful day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I tell you what, as always, we count it a privilege as well as an honor to be able to serve you. That's right, not only serving you with music, but serving you with community events, community things that are taking place in our neighborhood and surrounding areas. And as part of our service to our listeners, we have the privilege from time to time to interview certain community people that are involved in doing things that help shape the community in various parts of the city and possibly all over the country. And so, you know, we often share with God's people the importance of holding on to legacy, holding on to things that will help to shape and to mold our legacy. And one of the important things that we share with God's people is that, you know, when it came to African-American history, African-American history is something that we focus on all year round. Yeah, that's right. The ways that African-Americans have contributed to the legacy of this country. And so what I'd like to do right now is to go to a Southern Belle that was raised in Mississippi and their heritage. You know, we talk about people that lived on farms and plantations and in post-slavery era. It's kind of ironic, but it's kind of strange, too, because our generation, the millennials, only hear about it. And very few people are around to talk about it. But I have with me on the phone a particular young lady right now, a Southern Belle, I'd like to call her, a Southern Belle, who actually was involved in that post-era slavery area where they were made to stay on plantations and work crops and all that stuff like that. And so I've asked her to come and to share her experience, her brief experience with that, because, again, a lot of our children don't know about it. They're not aware of it. But without any further preliminaries, let me do this just a second here. Without any further preliminaries, I'd like to go right now to a young lady in the state of Mississippi. Her name is Roxanne Coleman, and Roxanne Coleman is somebody that I met years ago. But you know what? In her own right, I'll call her this, not on her own, but I'll call her somewhat of a historian when it comes to information back in the day. Okay, so without any further preliminary, we're going to welcome Miss Roxanne Coleman of Mississippi. And Miss Roxanne Coleman, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can.
Great, great, great. It's a pleasure to have you on KAYT, KQJOFM. And again, we just thank God for you taking time out from your busy schedule to be able to share with us some very vitally important information. And hopefully some of our millennials are listening. And then not only that, you might be able to take some of our older listeners back down that trip down memory lane. So without any further preliminary, tell us who you are and where you're from, and then we'll just go from there.
Okay. My name is Roxanna Coleman, but I was called, back then, Beth Ola. That was my nickname. So I was born on a plantation from about 2 miles outside of Side, Mississippi. And it was in October. And my father gave me the nickname of Beth Sola.
Where did he get that from? Beth Sola. That's country as they get. That's country as they get.
Yes, but he didn't like the name Roxanna. Okay. My mother and the midwife named me Roxanna, but he didn't like it. He said it sounded too much like Old Susanna.
Oh, okay. Old Susanna. Okay. He didn't like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but I can tell you best old.
You still there with us? All right. Seems like we lost Sister Roxanna.
Oh.
Are you there?
Okay. No, okay. I'm back. I can hear you.
Okay,
I'm
yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, you're fine. I lost you for a second. So you said Dad didn't like the name Roxanna, so he named you Bessola.
Yeah, he named me Bessola. And this was during 1943 in October. That's when the birth happened. That's when I came into this world, 1943, October the 5th. And during that time, it was being October, the cotton was already white and bright and beautiful to them and me too at that time. And he had to walk 3 miles to get the midwife because you couldn't go to a doctor.
I see.
You had midwives in there. Sometimes even your own family member, if they were old enough and knew enough about birth than a child, they could help birth the child. They just couldn't rest it in the coat house. You have to have a midwife to do that.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, too, because our younger generation wouldn't know anything about what a midwife is. They wouldn't know anything about going to get registered because, you know, children are born in hospitals and they're given birth certificates and things of that nature. So just briefly kind of share with us, I mean, aside from all of that, you growing up in that type of atmosphere, did you ever consider yourself poor or did you consider yourself less fortunate? Or how did you view things back there on a plantation life?
Back then on the plantation, because I was born there and I didn't know anything other than being on the plantation. And I looked at the lives of those that were on the plantation along with my parents and great parents. And I seen that as the only way. I thought that was great.
Wow.
I thought we were really living until I got older and learned better. But up until I got like 16 and was gone off the plantation, I was thinking that, hey, we were living a good life. Well, really before I got 16. Yeah, really before I got 16.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had food. We had the only way we gotten around was either by a mule or a wagon.
Traditional cars like we got today.
No.
Wow.
No. Then the lights were the lamps, and you had kerosene. That was our light. So they call it coal. You put it in the lamp, and you light it, and keep the chimney of the lamp, which is the glow, clean. And we had fire. You had to go, they men went to the woods and cut down trees and roar it back up and cut it up. And you had heater. You had a heater and a stove.
Okay.
And our water came from outside on a pump. So I thought we were living.
And when you went to the bathroom, you're not like our traditional children today can go in the bathroom and turn on the water and wash your hands afterwards or jump in a hot tub of water. That wasn't the case in your time and era.
No, we had the little outhouse.
Wow.
The outhouse. If you were allowed to build one on the plantation, it was the land didn't belong to us. You had to get permission everything.
Wow.
So you had to. And I know my uncle asked permission. He was told what's wrong with out in the field like you've been doing. Go out, way out in the grass and do what it can.
Let's fast forward a little bit now because I know in that life, and a lot of our children don't understand that, and it's been told to me from different historians like yourself, that when children grew up out there on that plantation life, that they had to start working as soon as they were literally able to walk. Correct me if I'm wrong.
True. I was at home. They were in the field. I was at home playing in the yard with Bobak and Jellybean, my dog.
Your dog, okay.
Yeah, and the boss came by and seen me, and he went back to the field and told them, that little girl that's out there playing is big enough to go to the field now.
Wow.
So get her a croaker sack, which is a rough sack.
Uh-huh.
The potatoes come in, white potatoes come in, if you had one at your house.
Mm-hmm.
So they told him to put straps on it. and put her out in the field. And from then on, I was like 6 or 7, maybe somewhere in between there. And I had to go to the field.
And how old were you again at that time?
Around 7.
7 years old.
Yeah,
made to go into that hot, wow, you had to go to that hot field with the grown folks.
Right. And that was from 6 in the morning until, well, from sun up in the morning until the sun goes down.
Wow. Wow.
You only came in when you could stand up in the field and look down on the ground and didn't see your shadow under your feet. That means it was 12 o'clock.
Wow.
You could go in at 12 o'clock. The only news we heard was Paul Harvey. Mm. And if you found an old regular radio mm-hmm. that somebody had thrown away and could fix it.
Wow, that is amazing.
And I know our people were very inventive. They were very, they could really put together something with a shoe tongue.
So let me ask you this real quick too, Sister Coleman, because our children today, and I mean living in a day like today, you know, we have where everybody's fighting about $10 an hour minimum wage, this, that, and other, and it's kids out there saying right today that I wouldn't work for no $7.25 an hour. But you picked cotton from sun up to sun down, and how much in that time were they paying you back in that day?
Back in that time, we would pick a 1,200-pound bale of cotton, and most of the 1,200 pounds was seed. The heavy the weight of that 1,200 pounds was seed.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to get a certain portion out of the seed
mm-hmm.
because we were doing what you call sharecropping.
I see.
Sharecropping, you share 50% of what comes out of it.
The profits.
But we didn't get that. Okay. What we got was like, it would go to the gin. It'll be gin, the lint taken off the seed. They weigh it.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get from $3 to $5. $5 was a large amount.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't pick a bale of cotton, 1,200 pounds of cotton, you didn't get anything.
My God. Now, that's something.
See, until you picked a bale of cotton.
You know, it's very important that you're sharing this because our younger generation today don't realize how blessed they are because of the matriarchs and the patriarchs that have sacrificed so much in the past until these children of today are just literally spoiled. But it's your generation that have helped to pave a way of where we are right now. And I think that it's very important that our children are made to try to hold on to that legacy of appreciation because there's a saying that goes like this. If you don't have history or knowledge of your history, you're doomed to repeat it. And I think that we can almost see that something like that happening right back again today, today's society, where, you know, people's rights are slowly being stripped away and things of that nature. But again, you took the liberty of not only sharing this with people from time to time, but you even wrote a book about it. And what's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Bessola's Plantation Life.
Bessola's Plantation Life.
Plantation Life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because if I had... Well, back then, and even after I moved to Urbana, most people didn't know me as Roxana.
Uh-huh.
I got the name Roxana came in when I went to school. I didn't even know it myself until I went to school that I was Roxana. I thought I was Bessola until the night before going to school, I was 7 years old.
Wow.
And the night before I went to school, my aunt told me, your name is Roxana Anderson. And I thought it was okay. Wait a minute, what happened to Bessola? And when I got to school, the teacher asked me my name. I told her I was Bessola Roxana Anderson.
So that nickname
she
stuck.
Me home.
Yeah. That nickname yeah,
but,
stuck with you.
It's we the kids at that time growing up, we learned something from it.
Mm-hmm.
We learned to work. You didn't get anything if you didn't work. That's the way our parents did.
Mm-hmm.
They had to work. They didn't have any food. The only thing we had to buy was sugar and baking powder or soda
okay.
to cook with. We had our eggs. We had chickens. We had eggs. You always would try to. Well, I'm not going on through that, but
yeah,
we
because
always had the hog.
The book has a lot of interesting things in there that I took, you know, I've read the book, and the book is just like I was there sitting going through every scenario that you were sharing, and from your growing up to being accosted by the boss man and the other things, and it just so real. And I'm not a country boy. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, and my parents are from the country. But as I read your book, it just like took me down. It's like a panorama vision where I could see you out there in the cotton fields playing with your dogs. And I tell you, it was just amazing. So we're going to get ready to just kind of end this now. But you do have a book available, and I don't know where it's available at. But I'd like you to share with our KAYT KQJO listening audience, if they're interested in getting the book. Again, give us the name of the book. Tell us where you can be reached at, in case someone is listening that would love to get that book and share it and to just reminisce on old time, because we still have a great amount of elderly people that can attest to what you're talking about, and that will probably spark them to be able to share probably one day a book also. So again, the name of the book and how it can be purchased.
The name of the book is Best Olive Plantation Life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can reach me through my phone number, 662-219-8021. You can email me, because I do have an email.
Mm-hmm.
And it is RoxannaColeman@yahoo.com. And my address is 2409 Laurelwood, Horn Lake.
Spell that Laurelwood, so in case somebody's listening, they don't know how to spell it.
L-A-U-R-E-L, Wood, W-O-O-D.
Laurelwood.
Laurelwood. And the zip code is 38637.
Wait a minute.
38637.
Horn Lake, you said, right?
Horn Lake.
And the zip code again?
H-O-R-N, Horn Lake.
Mm-hmm. And a zip again?
38637.
And again, that telephone number, in case somebody wants to call you immediately after we go off the air.
The telephone number is 662-219-8021.
And that's Roxanna Coleman.
Yes, Roxanna Coleman.
Affectionately known as Bessola.
Yes, Bessola.
So don't be surprised if somebody calls and says, is this Bessola?
I would gladly answer them. It is Bessola.
Okay.
I would gladly answer them. There's so much more in this book. We just touched on it lightly.
That's right.
There's so much more.
Well, that's right. Even we didn't want to touch on too much of it, because we want people interested to say, well, listen, let me just take a stroll down memory lane with Bessola and just probably rekindle some memories themselves, because, again, we need to remind our children how blessed they really are in today's society.
That's the whole thing.
I want to thank you, Sister Roxanna Coleman. I've known you for a substantial amount of years myself, and I can tell you this, even back in the years when we would have African-American History Month, how at church you would come back and you would show all of those old artifacts that just really just, I didn't want it to end, and I would just sit there and I would just watch the irons that you would bring in and all of the other stuff that was in the archives of time, and it was just like a time capsule. You went back in time when you were showing those different items. So again, I want to thank you. Our listening audience wants to thank you, and again, we will be in touch with you. Book number one, we want them to understand that. I know there's going to be some more coming too, but in due time, we thank God for people like you, and we thank you for taking time out from your busy schedule to just share that with our KAYT KQJO listeners. Any parting words before we go?
Well, I thank you, Pastor. I always kept you in mind, you and First Lady Townsend, because you all was a great instrument in my life. And I think that I work from that.
Yes.
God is good. He put people in your past that will help you with growth in Him. And you really did that, you and Sister Townsend. I still can hear her singing for testimony time.
Mm.
And we giving testimony something that we wasn't doing. So I love that. And then there's so much that was taught that I didn't know when I was saying amen to anything that the preacher said. and I love the non-sugar coating that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you're all the great people in my life, in my children's life, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Amen. Well, we just thank and praise God for you too, my sister, and we love you with the love of the Lord, and we will be in touch from time to time. Again, this is KAYT-KQJO. We have just been with an interview with Sister Bessola Roxana Coleman, originally from Itabena, Mississippi.
Right.
We didn't get the part to talk about it, but we'll get it probably next time, where you probably used to play with B.B. King, too, so that'll just raise some more interest later on if we get the interview.
I tried to get him. As a matter of fact, I was told after his death that we are in the family with him.
Oh.
Because he's from Berkeley. He was born down in Berkeley, where my people originated from, my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do a book on Itabena, too, you know, remember?
Okay.
We talked about that.
Yes.
But right now, we're going to.
Okay. All right. Well, we're just going to say thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless you, and we will be in touch. Okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. We love you. Talk to you later.
Love you, too.
Bye-bye. All right, y'all. This is KAYT-KQJO. We've been with a little interview from a self-proclaimed historian, Sister Roxana Coleman of Itabena, Mississippi. I hope that you enjoyed that. And now it's back to great gospel music, messages, and ministries here on KAYT-KQJO. I'm Bishop Kenny Townsend with you on a super soul-saving Saturday morning in the wonderful world of gospel.
I'm telling you, I lost my job and the next job I got on, and they gave me a lot of work. I did all I could, and all I couldn't do, I left a note and said, I work 8 hours, I have to go, but this is what I did today, and here's authenticated, here's what I did. I learned from mistake. Don't make that same mistake again, listening to somebody who trying to tell you what to do and wants your job. You know, look at somebody and say, you better hear that preacher. Now I got the one. Why does God permit trouble? God gave me this message, and it's got to heal you. Why does God give us trouble? Trouble brings a man to God. Yes. This sermon, you need to share around the world.
Yes.
Because people ask me all the time how I handle trouble. Trouble brings a man back to God and to himself. You are not yourself sometimes. And the prodigal son ended up at the hog pen, but he had to get broke, busted, and lose everything he had to find out who his friends were. But once he had nowhere else to turn but to God, then he said, and he came to himself and said, I will arise and go home to my father. Somebody said, what do you do about your child when they won't obey? Give them time to grow up and come to themselves. And all these hard-headed youth that won't listen to you, when they get out and got to pay rent, and they get out and they got some babies, they'll grow up. Give them time to grow. Give them time to get grown. They're just young teenagers, and they want to challenge you. Don't fight them, and don't fuss with them. Give them time to grow up, because they're not themselves. They don't know what youth, they don't know what adulthood really means. They think they know. And you got to realize that God used trouble on Tristan to bring you to yourself and to bring you to him. I'm going to be honest about this. Most of you just might well tell the truth. You won't come to church till something going bad. God has to hit you, knock you off your high horse to make you think about prayer. God, he got to knock you and take everything you got to put you on your knees. God know you won't pray when you hit that lottery. And you already lied about I'm on time. Hallelujah. You hit $10 million, boy, I couldn't find you if I tried. But most folks win the lottery tell me get broke soon. Because, they win money too quick and don't know what to do with that kind of money. And they spend it lavishly and broke the next few years. brothers and sisters, God can't bless some of us too much. He'll lose us. When you give people what they want all the time, you mess them up. When you give a child what they always want, you mess them up. Because he grew up thinking he ought to get it. And when he can't get it, he'll steal to get it. You messed him up. And if God doesn't let stuff go wrong in our lives, you know I'm right. You will not come to church. You'll be home watching scandal. And get through a scandal, then you're going to come in here and say, well, I'm a scandal. I wouldn't let nothing stop me on church. You can pre-record that game. Then the world see me. What's next week? Super Bowl. All right, 6:30. I said 6:30. Not 11 o'clock. Not 10:30. Not 7:45. Look at somebody, say, Reverend said 6:30. I would have been long gone from church. Plenty of time to go home and... I won't say what you're going to do. Then you ought to be in church that morning. And you got plenty of time to go home. You could have pre-cooked. Go get me some crab legs, snow crab legs or something. Call some of my old Morehouse partners, all us bald-headed now. But look, I will be in this pulpit. I don't let nothing, I don't care how bad it hit me, and you don't know what I face, but every tragedy, every trouble, everything I go through, I don't let nothing.
Kelly's Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellysServiceHouston.com. Kelly's Sitting Service is another...